Father, we just want to give you the glory upon this evening, Lord. Father, thank you for song worship, Lord. Thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to give you the glory. And Father, we've come, Lord, to bring ourselves before thee upon this evening, coming from our homes, coming from our work, coming from wheresoever we would have been. We come before you upon this evening, Lord, just seeking once again, Father, to approach unto you. Father, we desire to, Father, commune with you. We desire to bring our petitions before thee. We desire to bring our requests before thee, Lord. We desire to unite our hearts, Lord, upon this evening, to bring ourselves, Father, Lord, unto your great presence once again. Father, even as we'd open up your word, Father, we just long that your word would minister an entrance, even as song worship has done the same unto us. Father, unto that place that you may come with a boldness, Lord, unto the throne of grace, just to know your mind and your thoughts. Father, that you'll just persuade our hearts and lead us and guide us upon this night. Bless your people that have come out upon this night, Lord, with your rich blessings, we'd pray. Father, every request, even this request from Brother Tony and Sister Rudo concerning their house, Lord, we just want to bring this before thee at this time. Lord, we just want to ask of thee. Father, you said that the battle is the Lord's. And Father, we just bring every situation up unto thee and ask of thee that, Father, your mercy and that your grace would be extended in this situation. Praying, Lord, Father, for them that haven't managed to come this night, won't you watch over them and be with them, Lord? But, Father, Lord, may your gracious ears be attentive unto the prayers of your people upon this night. As, Lord, we look unto thee, as we draw nigh unto you, Father, as we thank you that you're drawing nigh unto us, be glorified, we pray, as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Saints, we do greet you this evening, saints. Really glad for everybody who's come out this evening. We've come this evening, just wanted to seek the Lord just for one petition. We're just wanting the Lord to show us his perfect will and lead us his perfect way, just concerning this building, concerning the church. So I just wanted to speak a little bit down that line, just to give us a thought to approach the Lord with. Let's open our Bibles. We'll first read Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23, as I think it's one of those verses in the Bible which is the most misquoted of verses if you read it. Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Now, well, I was even looking at my concordance for the footsteps of the righteous, because we always say that, but it doesn't. But it's the same thing. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Let's also read John chapter 14, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first two verses of John chapter 14. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. I just want to take a thought, if I had to give it a topic, just calling it our appointed places. You know, Jesus said something there which is real powerful. You know, if you go and study the laws, especially from the Bible, of marriage, you'll find that, you know, when the husband, if somebody loved somebody and they wanted to get into courtship or whatever, get married to somebody, they would come to the house of the parents, they'd negotiate whatever, pay the dowry, give a glass of wine, a drink from the cup, whatever it was. And then it was the responsibility of the future husband to leave his bride with the parents and go and prepare a place for her. You see, he had to go and prepare a house. So he had already got engaged to, got betrothed to her. It could take quite some time, but he would go from that place and he would go and prepare a place where he would later on come back, take his bride, go to the wedding and take her into that house. So it's always the responsibility of the husband to provide the house for his bride. You know, so I think from there you already see where my thought is going today. There's something that really ministers a lot of peace to me, is that, you know, even in the message, the future home, the prophet gives it such a wonderful title, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. And Jesus was speaking in John chapter 14 saying, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. You know, the bride didn't have to worry about the place that was being prepared. It was the responsibility of the husband to make sure that the wife had a place which he had prepared. And there's something about this particular thought, is that, you know, God predestinates experiences to us. We know that. Remember some time back we looked at the thought of our appointed times. We saw that, you know, that God has appointed times that he ordains to meet with his people. When he wants to move his work on, there's certain times that he meets you in a special way and he does something for you and he moves you on from the place that you are. And that particular experience does something to you and puts you into the next stage of your Christian walk. Now it's the same with the Lord concerning the places where he meets us. God has appointed places. You know, the places where we are supposed to live, the places we are supposed to worship, the places that we are going to be successful in this life are ordained of the Lord. God has already ordained before we get here the places that he wants us to be. So as we come here this evening wondering what is our future in this place, I'll say to you, God already has something prepared for us. God already has made a provision for us even before we knew there was a need. Even before we see anything and we think, but you know, what are we going to do now? The footsteps of the righteous, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And God is the one who is responsible for these things. Just as much as if you look in your Christian experience, you know, God himself was responsible to meet your soul and to bring you to salvation. God himself was responsible to take you further in your Christian walk, to reveal to you the message of the hour. If God had have left that responsibility to us, that we had to somehow find the way of salvation, we would still be looking. If God had left it up to us to find the message of the hour, we didn't even know there was a message of the hour. When we were in the charismatic church, Pentecost, the Catholic church, wherever you were from, you didn't even know there was a message of the hour. But God had already prepared the message of the hour for you. God had already said, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. And you didn't even know there was supposed to come an Elijah the prophet. But God had already made a provision for you. And in due season, he drew near to you and he led you. And there came an intersection between your path and God's provided way. And you met now exactly that particular experience. Amen. In that particular junction of time where God did something for you. Now friends, I believe that is the way that a believer's life should be. I do not believe that believers should fret, that believers should worry. Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. He says, just seek his kingdom today. Seek you first his kingdom and his righteousness, because he has provided everything for us. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he already has come, and we can read the message, Future Home, you can read the book of Revelation. It explains our future home already. The prophet says he's been there for 2,000 years preparing our future home. Yeah, we didn't even know that we had a future home when we were in the world. But he's been preparing that home for us. And in his due season, he'll come down with a predestinated experience to us, a visitation, and he'll take us to the future home. So it just shows that he has everything under his control. So what is the responsibility of a believer? It's just to walk in the Spirit. is just to seek His leadership. Because He has a vision of your life. He has a vision of the purpose of your life. He has a vision for our church. He has a purpose. He has things that He's predestinated. He has things that He's planned. And the only responsibility we have is to draw near to Him so we can enter into that vision. So that we can just follow His leadership to the next junction, to the next place that He wants us to be, the next experience that He desires for us to experience. But each and every one of these things are ordained by the Lord. These things are not governed by us, that we have to be the ones, that we have to do this, that, and the other. No, our responsibility as the bride is to leave the big decisions to our husband. And then we just need to follow His leadership. And He'll unfold in due season the next stage. He will show us exactly what He wants us to do or where He wants us to go if we wait upon Him. If we seek Him and call upon His name, draw nigh so that we can enter into that thought, enter into the process of the vision, the next stage that He has for your life. Look back in your personal experience, you'll see exactly the same thing. You'll find that did you ever expect that you'd be worshiping in Dublin, serving? You never did. But before the foundation of the world, this was an appointed place that God had appointed for you. An appointed place that He had appointed for me. God knew that we would be here. God made a provision for us to be here even before we got here. Many of us, God was doing things and putting things in order and organizing places and organizing people and whatever it was, because He knew that you would be there and that you were going to need those things at that certain junction in your life. And if you go right back to your conversion and look at the different places that you've been, you'll find if you've been walking with the Lord, if you haven't been rebellious or stubborn or resisting the will of God, you will find that God is the one who closes the doors and opens them and guides you and leads you and brings you to the place that you're supposed to be. Because there's only certain places that you're going to prosper. Remember the Lord, that lady said to the prophet, even when he was young, saying, you were born under a certain sign, you'll never prosper in the east. Remember that? The prophet wasn't supposed to go to the east. And then when it came the junction in time for him to really step into his ministry as a seventh angel, what happened? The vision broke and said, when you see this, turn westward. You see, and he was being told, go westward, I'll meet you there. And then he went out to Tucson. And when he got to a certain predestinated place, he had a predestinated experience. He met seven angels. And there came the unveiling of the seals and so forth. And the Lord had already showed him in a vision, you're going to be northeast of Flagstaff. You're going to be not far from Tucson. He says he wanted to make sure that I knew where I was. So God, even before the prophet was born, had ordained a place for the prophet to be. And ordained, when he gets there, he's going to have this kind of an experience. And he can't have this experience until he gets there. That's why these predestinated, these appointed experiences that he gives to us, they're related to these appointed places that he leads us to. You find God, when he comes to Israel and he calls Israel as his people out of Egypt, what does he do? He takes them out into the wilderness and then he gives them a tabernacle. The tabernacle of the congregation. It was part of his vision for them. They were now the prophets, is no longer just the people of God. But when they came out of Egypt, they became the church of God. And they just were walking, following the pillar of fire. Then God provided a tabernacle for them. They didn't have to crack their heads. Yes, they had to use their talents and their resources. They had to do certain things to establish that vision that Jehovah had for them. But it was all part of Jehovah's plan. And then when the kingdom came, now later on, they got in the promised land, and here came David on the throne, and was moving into the next stage of the ministry of Israel. What did God do? God gave him the vision of a temple. And he says, now you're going to move out of this tabernacle, now you're going to move into this temple. It was a change of ministry. God was moving them from one place and saying, now it's a different junction in your life. I'm going to move you to this place now. And then they took the ark out of the tent and they went and they put it in the temple and it became the golden age of Israel. And then they were established and they expanded their borders and it was, you know, the millennium in its day. And surely that's the way that God does things with us as well. Now He's appointed to us the experiences. He's appointed to us whatever He's called us unto. He's appointed unto us the family of God that we're supposed to fellowship with. That's why you're going to find certain people that you're compatible with. in this life. You're going to find other people that believe maybe the same message, but you can't maybe get on with them quite as well. And I believe God, He knows what He's doing when He brings people together. Is that if God has ordained you to fellowship as a congregation, bring you together, I believe God has predestinated something in each of us that we can get along with each other. No, that we're compatible with each other. Because that's the predestination of God. God works in that kind of a way. And that's why you find the prophet in his ministry. You'd find whenever he had come to a change in his ministry like that, there'd come a change of location. Something would take place. You know, God was trying to show that this is a junction that has come. Now, this is a time to move from one thing to another. When they came to preach the seals, the prophet, what did they do? They remodeled the tabernacle. They almost built a new church. You see, when it was the change of ministry and the prophet was moving right into the third pool there, the unveiling of the word, like he says, what happened? There was a change even in the location that they had. No, the building was different, and the prophet speaks of it right at the beginning of the seals and dedicates the building to the Lord as the first thing that he does before preaching the seals. So I believe every single one of these things, there's a meaning and a purpose behind it. I don't think anything happens to a believer by chance, because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And all God is trying to do, if he wants us to leave this place, and he's already prepared somewhere else. And all we need to do is draw nigh to him, enter into the vision, seek his face, and find out how we can follow this vision to the next part of this progressive unfolding of Jehovah's will for us in this place. Because he's our husband, and the responsibility is upon our husband to provide us a place to worship him. Listen what the prophet says in the message, dedication of the church, when he was dedicating a church, 1959. He speaks of Israel in Egypt, and he says, now God dwells among his people. And he called them out of Egypt. They were the people of God. He chose them as a nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. And he chose the certain people. But as long as they were dwelling in Egypt and scattered, they were the people of God. But when he called them out, then they were the church of God. Because the word church means separated, called out. They became the church of God. So the moment they moved into this next stage of their ministry, then the prophet says, then being the church of God, God ordained a certain place for these people to meet him. God ordained a certain place for these people to meet him. Friends, for these last, whatever, 4 years, whatever it's been, God ordained this place for us to meet him. Amen. We never chose this place. No brother really went and cracked his head when we left the old place and said, no, where are we going to find another place? We're going to find a... Brothers were just walking past, and then God had already ordained something. And the saints saw to let, and they pursued that leadership, and they found this was a nice place. And God gave us this place. I have no doubt inside of my mind that the Lord God of heaven ordained us to be in this place in this season. But we don't know if the Lord God of heaven has ordained us to be in this place going on from now. But if he hasn't ordained us to be here, he has ordained us to be somewhere. And that's all we need to do is draw nigh to him as our husband and say, Lord, you know, where do you want us to go? What have you provided for us next? For I go to prepare a place for you. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. And look how the prophet finishes the quote. It says, being the church of God, God ordained a certain place for these people to meet in where there would be fellowship. Because God longs to fellowship with his people and among his people. So friends, God loves to fellowship with us. He loves to fellowship among us. So surely, it's not my responsibility or yours to really worry about where we're going to find a place to fellowship with God. Because he wants to fellowship with us. We want to fellowship with him. So I really do believe that everything is perfectly under control. And he's going to open a door. If he closes this door, he's going to lead someone to find a place just like he led someone to find this place. He's going to ordain our footsteps to go to the next stage of the journey, if that's his will, just as much as he took us from Marrowbone Lane and he brought us here. And before that, he took us from Fir House Community Center and put us in Marrowbone Lane for a season, a junction in time. And in each of those places, there were certain experiences that we had with the Lord. And then he brought us here, and if he's taken us somewhere else, it means something. It means something in his great program. Because whenever God moves his people, there's something spiritually significant behind it. It's always been like that. You'll find it in the Bible. And that's why You'll find people like Rahab in the Bible. As long as she was in Jericho, she could never bring forth. But the moment that she moved strangely to Bethlehem, then she brought forth the seed of promise. You know, there was a certain place, and you find the Lord Jesus Christ, he couldn't be born in Nazareth. He had to go to Bethlehem, then he could be born, because that was the place that he was appointed to be. He was to be born in that place. That was the place that he was supposed to be. And then for a season it was ordained he should go down to Egypt. And the Lord said to Joseph, arise, flee, take the child down to Egypt. And then when it was time now for him no longer to be in Egypt, the Lord spoke again and said, Herod's dead. And they went back and they went and they dwelt in Nazareth. Now you just see each of these junctions in time, each of these places, there was a significance, there was a reason. There was a leadership of the Lord to lead them from one place to another. And that's all that we've come to seek this evening. It's just to seek the leadership of the Lord. To say, Lord, you are the one who makes the big decisions in our lives. Lord, you are the one that provides the things which, you know, if you leave it to us, we're going to make a mess. But we just want to draw nigh to you that you may show us clearly what is the next part in the process of the unfolding of the vision. And that just needs us to walk humbly before the Lord, to approach him his provided way. The Lord spoke to Elijah. And he says, it's a time for the change in your ministry. Elijah, go to the brook Cherith. I'll watch over you there. And what does Elijah have to do? He just has to follow the Lord. And he goes to the brook Cherith, and there's famine in the land, and the Lord's providing his needs, sends the ravens to feed him. Then after a season, the brook goes dry. And Elijah knows, I don't understand where I'm supposed to go next, but the situation's changing here. Amen. Then the Lord speaks to him, go down to Zarephath. I provided a certain widow woman to feed thee there. I've already prepared a woman for you, a place for you. You know, and I think saints, especially the spirit of Elijah, God always provides a place for the spirit of Elijah. Amen. Now God always has a place for Elijah. Now I think it was Elijah or Elisha. Remember that woman, she made the little house, little room on the side of a house for Elijah. You know? God always has a way of providing things beforehand. Because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I think tonight, let's take him at his word. That if we have to leave this place, if that be his will, we don't know what God's mind is on this. But if he has, then we'll just say, Lord, you promise you'll go and prepare a place for us. And he's already prepared a place for us. He already knows where it is. He already knows that it's exactly what we need. He knows the experience he's going to give us there. And all we need to do is just be humble before him so he can lead us from here to there. That's just the next stage of the journey that he wants to lead us to. You find it with Abraham. When it was a time for a junction in his life, the Lord came, Genesis 12, and says, Abraham, leave this place and go to a land that I'll show you. He didn't even know exactly where he was supposed to be going, but he just followed the Lord. And the Lord took him now to Canaan. And that was the place where the Lord came and revealed himself in the land of Canaan. That's where God ordained for Abraham to have those great experiences that he should have had, to meet Melchizedek and all the things that took place. But all he had to do was just follow the Lord when he said, okay, you've been here long enough, go and dwell in the land of Canaan. And Abraham followed the Lord. What about Israel? When there was famine in the land, like we saw the other day, and Jacob and his sons were there. You know, things dried up in the land. They didn't understand what was going on. But God had already prepared a place for them. God had already prepared a Goshen for them. A place where they were going to receive the blessing of the king, and the garners of Egypt had been stored up for them. Jacob worried, and I'm sure he must have had sleepless nights, wondering about what are we going to do, where are we going to go. But Jehovah had it all under control. Because this was the seed of Abraham. And God was in covenant with the seed of Abraham. And he had promised that he had watch over his seed. It was a covenant relationship. And we, being the bride of Christ, we're in a covenant relationship with him. It's his responsibility as our husband to look after our future, to provide for us. Now look in your experience. Has he ever let you down in that? Ask yourself, has the Lord ever let you down at any junction in your personal experience? Have you ever been ashamed before as a believer? The Bible says, none that trust in him shall ever be put to shame. Never. You've never been at a place that you embarrassed as a believer. Unless it was a chastisement which the Lord was putting upon you for some reason. But if you were walking just humbly and softly before the Lord, Did he not lead you and guide you and provide for you and do things which you never expected at certain junctions? And, you know, certain times you wondered, how are we going to get through this? Or how am I going to get over this? Or how am I going to get around this problem? And you find somehow his grace moves in and he's already provided the provided way of escape for you. He's already provided a solution to your problem even before you got there. And you just had to walk in the vision and get to that junction in life, and then the next place become clear of what you were supposed to do. Because he does his things well, friends. God does his things well. Because he wants to fellowship with us, and he wants us to fellowship with him. That's why the prophet says he ordained a place. He ordained a tabernacle for Israel so that he could come and dwell in the midst of his people. And friends, I don't think the purposes of God are going to be frustrated because a man wants to sell his building here. Or a man wants to break this building down and build something bigger here. I think the purposes of God and the plan of God and the provision of God is far stronger and far greater than the plans of any mortal man. And that God already has seen the end from the beginning. And that's why he's Jehovah Jireh, because the Lord will see to it. And I think we just need to seek his face, humble ourselves before him, seek his leadership, and follow him if we're supposed to go from this place to the place that he's prepared for us. That's all that we've got to do. We just need to wait upon the Lord at these junctions in time. Because there's always a purpose in the junction. We always have these junctions in your calling, junctions in your experience, junctions in the unfolding of this redemptive plan of the Lord inside of your life. But when you get to the junctions, the prophet says, you need to be a little bit sensitive before the Lord. Because you don't want to make a wrong turn at the junction. You want to find out what's his mind in the junction. You want to draw near to him so you can follow his leadership in the junction. So that his will can be done, especially at those kind of times. So that's just our responsibility, is to draw near to him. Is to humble ourselves before him. Is to acknowledge him and say, Lord, you've got it all under control. You have the plan. You have the place. If this is a place that you've ordained us to be, you take care of the problem. Lord, if this isn't the place for us to be, if you've prepared us another place, we're waiting on you. You lead us and guide us. Unfold it just the way that you've unfolded all these things in our spiritual history leading us up to this point. Then that's a good thing at those junctions. If ever you go and read Psalm 105 again, you'll find when David became king in Israel, in Jerusalem now, and you know, they wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant from the tent of Obed-Edom, where it had been kept down there ever since it came back from the Philistines. And it was to come back to Jerusalem, and then David danced before the Ark. We know that it was time for the anointed word, the Ark, the Covenant, to move from one place to another. David said at the beginning of Psalm 105, he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." He says, remember his marvelous works that he's done. And then David wrote the whole of Psalm 105, recounting all of God's faithfulness with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel in Egypt, the whole history of how God had dealt so faithfully in the covenant, right from when he called Abraham, right until the day that they were living. And at that kind of a junction, when David saw, he says, you know, the best thing we need to do at this junction, we need to thank the Lord for taking us safely through all the other junctions that we've been through. And David said, give thanks unto the Lord. And friends, we need to thank him for all the things that he's already done for us. Because he's never failed us. We failed him many times. We doubted him many times, but he never failed us once. He's been faithful to his covenant. He's been more than faithful unto us. He's revealed his love. He's revealed his care. He's revealed his provision. You may not have everything that you want, but he's given you everything that you need. Every single thing that you and I need, his grace has provided to us each step of the way. Sometimes it came just at the last minute. We didn't know what we're going to do next. But just in time, the Lord did something for us. Sometimes our papers seemed that we're going to run out, but God knew how to make a provision at that time. Sometimes the money we thought the cruse of oil was going to run out, but it's never run out yet. I don't know how many times you've been in this church, Brother Virgus knows, that you'd get to a place where you need to pay quite a big debt, the rent or different expenses, and you wonder where the money's going to come from. You really wonder, because you're looking and saying, next week, yeah, how are we going to pay that? But if you ask Brother Virgus or anyone involved, the Lord's never failed us once. We've never had big abundance of money here, but He's never failed us once. We've never yet been embarrassed. Why? Because He's our husband. It's the responsibility of the husband to look after his bride in provision, in food, and in a place to dwell. So I really do believe the Lord has a place provided for us. He knows the next part of the vision. He knows how to navigate us through this junction if we'll just follow His leadership. If we'll just call upon Him and seek His face. Don't lean on our own understanding, but just seek and say, Lord, You go before. Let's just finish with this thought of Eliezer. Because the prophet says Eliezer is the model servant of God. You know, and Eliezer had to go to another place. In order for him to have success in his ministry at that time, to really fulfill the purpose of God that God had ordained him for, Eliezer as the steward, he couldn't fulfill it back there in Canaan. He had to be sent by Abraham in that junction of time, a crucial junction, to go to Mesopotamia, to go to the house of Abraham's brethren. And Eliezer went a long way. But one thing the prophet says is Eliezer was a model servant. He never went until he was sent. He could see the Lord is moving here. I need to follow the leadership of the Lord. He never leant upon his own understanding. He went to Abraham and he says, what am I supposed to do? If she doesn't want to come, am I supposed to take your son there? He says, by no means. The Lord will send His angel before. The Lord will send His angel before. You just be faithful to your commission. You just walk one step at a time. You just follow the leadership of where I'm sending you to. And when you get to that place, you're going to have some good success. But Eliezer, knowing the word, being given the commission, everything had been provided by Abraham, the camels and all the goods and everything. It wasn't Eliezer's responsibility to make provision for all of those things. He was about Abraham's business. But when he got there now, to the well at evening time, he had to get prayerful now. Because he knew, I'm in the right place, but where do I go from here now? Which is going to be the damsel? And the prophet says, and then he committed it to the Lord. And when he committed it to the Lord, here came Rebecca. And that's all that we wanted to do as well. We wanted to see the vision unfold itself, the next part of the purpose that Jehovah has for us. So we've just come to commit it to the Lord. Because we've come to the junction, we've come to the place, we've come to a certain place in time. Now we need to wait upon Him. And then as Eliezer committed it to the Lord and says, oh Lord God, of my master Abraham, let the damsel who comes and offers to give me water and then waters the camels, let her be the one. And immediately somebody came who fitted the vision. Somebody came who was an exact match to this man's prayer. What this man was praying for in the spirit, he was led to pray like that. There was already someone walking down. The prophet says the angel of the Lord beat him there by 30 minutes and had spoken to the heart of Rebecca and led her down, and there became an intersection at the junction. An intersection of a man praying and the answer of his prayers right there at the well at evening time. And that's all we're looking for as well. We're going to pray and then we're going to wait upon the Lord, follow His leadership, and then we're going to see an intersection of our prayers with an answer to those prayers. Hallelujah. Just as much as Eliezer saw the same thing. And I like what Eliezer said when he was in the house now of Laban. It says he bowed his head and he worshipped. And he says, I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of the brother of my master Abraham. See, what was he doing? He says, I being in the way. And that's all we've got to do. We just need to be in the right way. We just need to be in the right spiritual condition. Put everything to the Lord. Get ourselves in the channel of the vision. And if we are in the way, He will lead us to exactly the place that we're supposed to go. He'll unfold to us the next part of the vision. Friends, I do not think that the prophet says it's not for a believer to worry or to fume or to fuss or to stew about things. The prophet said it's all over for the believer at Calvary. Amen. And so we just go back to Calvary, amen, where redemption was paid, where His great love was revealed to us. We just go to the foot of the cross, remember the great provision that Jehovah made for us when we were dead in sin and trespasses, when yet there was nothing that we could do, when we were God's enemies, He loved us, He gave Christ to die for us. In due season, when He saw that it was the fertile time in our life, that junction in time, he sent Elijah unto us. He revealed his message unto us in due season, in his great providence, through different ways and means that he uses. He ordained our footsteps to come unto this place. He allowed us to meet one with another, to have this place of worship. Friends, he hasn't finished his purposes yet. He hasn't finished his plan yet. He's still in the business of taking us to the next stage. And that's what we've come to thank him for in advance. I want to thank him this evening in advance that he's gone and he's prepared a place for us. And we're just asking him now to say, Lord, grant us grace, anoint our eyes. Give us the leadership of that same angel that led Eliezer. And lead us that we may see the fulfillment of the vision. Let us walk in the channel of the vision. And Lord, you minister us into the right place that we may see what it is that you want us to do. That vision that we're praying for, that purpose that we're praying for, the desire that we have before you, a place that we can fellowship with you and you can fellowship amongst us. Lord, you just show us the way. And God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. You know how it is. He works in such a simplicity sometimes, just to unfold and open up that next door, to open up that next purpose inside of your life. And all we've got to just be sensitive at that kind of a time and recognize that this is the Lord going before us, just as much as Eliezer did. And then we bow our heads and we worship and we say, we being in the way, the Lord led us as well. I'm sure that's your desire. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing one song. Let's come to a time of prayer now to put it before the Lord, to say, Lord, I thank you for predestined, appointed experiences that I've had. And I thank you, Lord, for the predestined, appointed places that you've met me in. And I thank you, Lord, for guiding my footsteps thus far. You've kept my feet from stumbling in the rough places of the way. Even at times I almost made wrong steps, I almost made wrong decisions, but Lord, your grace has overridden it each time. And you've led and guided me safely to where I am. Now the same grace, Lord, that has brought me safely thus far, we're just looking unto you, Lord, that same grace is going to lead us home. It's going to lead us to the next stage in the journey. Let's sing that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's ask the Lord for his wisdom. Let's thank the Lord for this place. Let's thank the Lord for everything that's happened since the last junction, when he moved us from the previous place to here. Let's really appreciate what the Lord's done for us. And then we put our expectation upon him. We call upon his name and say, Lord, let the angel go before. Lead us and guide us. Show us, Lord, the next step that we're supposed to take. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chain 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. With no less tears to sing God's praise than when we first began. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began.
endless days to sing God's praise. Come and where we first began.
So let's sing that song. Let's sing that song, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." Let that be our prayer tonight, Lord. Lead me, and where You lead me, I will follow. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. I'll go with I'll go into the garden. I'll go with you all the way. I'll go with you.
Saints, let's all pray. Let's all draw nigh to the Lord. Let's all seek His face. Let's seek His favor. Let's come through the power of the covenant. Let's come through the power of the relationship that we have with Him. Let's come to the throne of grace upon this evening. Put our petitions before Him that He may lead us and guide us, and where He leads us, we will follow. Let's all pray. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. Father, we've come, Lord, Father, just with that desire that where You lead us, we will follow. Father, You have given us grace, Lord. You've given us glory. Father, there's so many things that You've done for us. And Father, how we do desire, Lord Jesus, even upon this evening, Lord, to really appreciate and to thank You, Lord, for the things.
Father, to flex, Lord, those faith muscles, Lord Savior. Lord, and do, Lord Savior. Lord, the unspeakable, Lord Savior. Do, Lord, the spectacular, Lord Savior, we pray. Even in this hour, Lord Savior God. Father, we glorify Your name, Lord, and we lift Thee, Lord, even above all. Knowing in Thee, Lord Savior God. Lord Savior, Lord, that Thou art, Lord Savior, of God, who is above all, Father. We ask Your grace, Lord. You be glorified, You be lifted above all.
Let's sing that song. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, saints. Just before we come to a close. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees. I'm sure that's Your desire. When hearts are aflame, let me call upon Your name.
Upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary.
They shall
walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees, till in your own time, you will answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on whatever's due, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary.
They shall walk and not faint.
Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. While hearts are aflame, help me humble my pride and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes on thee. Help me be only certain what you want me to be. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary.
They shall walk and not faint.
Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, to wait.
I'm just going to read this request from Sister Ruda and Brother Tony. It reminds me so much of, we had the same situation. It says, we're asking for prayers for our house. The bank want to repossess the house, and we don't know where the landlord is. We lost contact with him 3 years ago when he left going to Africa. Sister Ruda and Brother Tony. I remember when we were in our old house and the estate agent phoned us a few years back and said, Andrew, I knew the man well. He was a very nice man. And he said, Andrew, I just want to warn you that the owner of the house, he got given a 25-year mortgage when he was 57 years old. He said, you remember when the bank was giving money to everyone? So now they've caught up with him and I've heard some rumors that he may lose his house to the banks. I just wanted to warn you ahead of time. So just be prepared. It was very good. So then a couple of weeks later, he phoned back and he said, I just want to tell you, yes, Andrew, that you're going to have to move from that house because the bank's repossessing it. And then I thought of that one, when the eagle stirs the nest, there's always a reason. So I asked him, I phoned him back. His name's Ian. I said, Ian, do you have any houses at all? He says, well, it's funny. We have one house. We can't seem to get rid of this house. He said, it's been on the market for 3 months. I think I gave the testimony before. He says, it's been over 3 months now. No one's taken this house. So I said, would you mind if you can go and see the house? And we went and saw the house. Such a nice house. And it's the house we're in now. So we said to the man, yes, we'll take it. It was just a little bit more than we were paying before. Then he says, no, but the landlord wants to meet you first. And so we arranged on a certain day to meet the landlord. And the man came. And the first thing that the man asked me, the landlord, is, are you a Christian?
Hallelujah.
And I said, yes, I'm a Christian. Why? He says, we're Christians. We never allowed anyone to smoke in this house. We never allowed anyone to drink in this house. And we had a lot of people wanted this house, but we wanted to give it to a Christian. And that's how the Lord gave us our house. And our house, the saints know, it's so much better than our old house. We're so at home in our new house. It's such a nice place, nice location. There's a field just behind us. You can go and pray. There's horses. There's different things for the children. You know, so I really do see sometimes it looks like, this is too bad. We can't find the landlord. Maybe the Lord ordained it like that. Maybe He's already prepared you another place. And He's just brought about the circumstances now to move you from where you are to the next place. Because, friends, we are people that we don't like change. Now, we as human beings, we don't like change. We know what it's like. Moving house is a big issue as well. But sometimes, well, not sometimes, always, if the Lord takes something away, He's got something better in store. But we'll put this issue before the Lord as we close. Does anybody else have any prayer requests this evening before we close? Anybody else? Good. Everyone's put their own request before the Lord. Sister. Amen. Your uncle and his family, yeah? We pray for them, sister. They need the Lord to answer their prayers. Let's bow our heads, saints, this evening. Just want to really appreciate everybody who's come to the house of the Lord this evening. Please pray for us. We're away this weekend. If you'd really keep us in prayer, just for Sunday. We come back Sunday evening, so please keep us at the altar that the Lord's will may be done this weekend and everything. And just praying that, you know, the prophet, he said one thing which I love. He says, no, about partnership with man. He says, we are his hands and we are his feet. And he says, when they came to the grave of Lazarus, he says, Jesus had the power of the resurrection, but he said to Mary and Martha, you move the stone. And the prophet says, they had to do what they could do. Jesus wasn't going to do that for them. So I'd really ask each saint now, after this prayer meeting, yield yourself, pray each morning, wait upon the Lord, and let's pursue every opening that we can find. We're just asking each saint, look for a place. Let the Lord, maybe you're the one that the Lord is going to use. You're going to be his hands and his feet. You're going to be his mouth to lead us maybe to the next place that the Lord wants us to go, if he wants us to leave this place. So I just ask each saint just to be under an expectation and just be waiting upon the Lord. And no matter how small the opportunity seems, just follow it up. If somebody gives you a phone number, if you hear of a certain place, let's do what we can do. And we trust that the Lord will go before the angel of the Lord and bring everything to intersect at the right place, at the right time, in the center of His perfect will. Father, we thank you for your people. Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering with your people. Father, how you said just the two and threes, you said you'd be in the midst. How much more when you see so many of your people that have come out upon this night, Lord, to, Father, unite our hearts, our faith together with a common purpose, a common goal. That, Father, we want something for your glory. Father, we want and we have a desire, Lord, for a place that, Father, we may worship you, that you may fellowship with you, that you may fellowship with one another. Father, it's your desire, Lord, and that's why you gave us this place. And, Lord, we thank you for this place has been such a blessing unto us, Lord. Father, so many good memories of things that have taken place in here, Lord, and also some regrets, Lord, when you look back. And, Father, things we'd long to learn from, that if you'd take us to a new place, that, Father, we'd take the lessons from here, and, Lord, that it would just be, Father, another dimension that you'd take us to, that you'd take us to another level. Lord, that you'd take us to the next stage, and the present stage of the ministry would be our desire. Father, we're looking unto you. Father, you've been the one that has, Father, led us and guided us and kept us from the days of our youth. Father, even before we knew you, Lord, you protected us. There's times you could have died, Lord. There's times it was misfortune and disease and accidents and so many things, Lord, the wickedness of man. But Father, you've protected us and you kept us and you've brought us to this evening, Lord, that you may come to call upon the name and approach unto thee. And Father, then you brought us to yourself, Lord. You revealed your grace unto us. And Father, you brought us unto this message, Lord. Father, you revealed it to us in your due season. And Father, then we came from different countries and different places, Lord, and in different ways you stirred the nest and you moved circumstances and you moved situations, and we didn't understand what was happening. We didn't understand why. We thought you were always going to be where we were. But Father, because it was part of your vision, it was part of your purpose, and Father, you moved us in various ways and you brought us to this place. And Father, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. And now at this junction in time, once again, Father, we're looking unto you. Father, that your angel, Father, would just make it so clear unto us that, Father, Lord, you said in your word to ask abundantly, that our joy may be full. And Father, we just want to ask an abundance of you. That, Lord, you just reveal an abundance of grace in this issue for us, Lord. That, Father, we may give you the glory. Father, we commit it into your hands upon this night. Even Brother Tony and Sister Rudo on this issue, Lord, you know the thought and purpose and intent behind this, Lord. Knowing that nothing happens to your children without you being in control of, Father, even these circumstances, Lord, that seem can be out of control. Father, we bring this situation up unto you. Father, we just ask of you, Lord, just unfold your purpose and unfold your will. Father, if it's the time to move to another place, or Father, Lord, to go to a place to testify to somebody, to their neighbor, whatever it would be, I just pray, Lord, and dedicate that issue into your hands, Lord. Father, let your will be known unto them as they wait upon you, and lead them and guide them, Lord. And Father, if it's your will for them to stay there, Lord, just move things, Lord, that it doesn't matter about a man, Father, 3 years that hasn't been seen. Father, we commit it into your hands because, Lord, you can take care of each of these situations. Now, Father, as we go from this place upon this night, won't you watch over us? Give us traveling mercies, Lord. Bless our families. Bless our children. Bless the saints that aren't here. Some at work, college, different places. Father, some that couldn't come because of other reasons. We do pray for each and every one of them, Lord, even this weekend. Praying for your blessing, Lord Jesus, upon your people. Father, upon the gathering of your people would be our desire. Won't you help us, Lord? Father, grant us grace at this time to bind our hearts together. With your divine love would be our desire. Draw nigh unto us as we draw nigh unto thee. Forgive our trespasses, Lord. Forgive our transgressions, Lord. Please forgive us, Lord. And Father, let your blood speak in our behalf, even upon this night. And just wash us, Lord, and cleanse us, Lord. We'd ask and pray. Strengthen your servants. Strengthen your sons and your daughters, Lord, as we wait upon thee, Lord. And just lead us and guide us, Lord. And Father, open the next door, Lord. Father, we're waiting upon you, looking unto you. Guide us, Lord. Move your sons and daughters, Lord. Father, open up opportunities and let them hear of this and hear of that, Lord, and move in your strange ways, Lord. And Father, just unfold your purpose, Lord. Your provided way would be our desire. For we're looking unto you and we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sorry, let's to bow our heads. Father, we do pray for Sister Nachiza, Lord. We pray for our uncle. Lord, you pray for this situation, Lord. Father, you know what is behind this, Lord, Father. But Lord, Father, Lord, our, Lord Jesus, misfortunes, Lord, our troubles and problems are your opportunities. Father, we just pray that you'd work in that situation, that you'd reveal yourself. That Father, you, Lord Jesus, are the solution to every problem. We just pray that you'd minister grace even at this time. That whatever the situation would be, let there be a change, Lord. Father, let something be done. Magnify your name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing one more as we dismiss, saints. Yeah. Let's start it again, the verse. Let's start again, yeah. That's good. Let's sing that one, the ancient words, long preserved.
Long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound and God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us grow. In this world where every road, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, hand it down to this age. Came to us through sacrifice, oh, hear the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk. Oh, let the ancient words impart, ancient words ever true.